Blog Talk Radio.
I'm starting off right. Hi everyone, welcome to Tune In Is at Noon, broadcasting our special show here at 8 p.m. Central due to severe weather issues along the coast, and we're glad to be here tonight. And this is one half of your hosts. My name is Lee Roberts, and I'm here with my partner Donna Shear, and we just thank you for joining us tonight. We've got some heavy topics to share with you, to go over. We're talking about keeping our kids safe, so protecting our children, two-part series. This is part one tonight. And welcome, Donna.
Hi, Lee. I want to thank you for rescheduling the show. We had a blizzard here over the last couple days, and we are actually snowed in. We've had no school, no mail, no anything. So I want to thank you for rescheduling.
Yeah, I'm glad that we were able to do that. And I've got prayers lifted for everybody up that way. I've got friends and family up in, you know, New England area, and they're getting hit pretty hard too. So, we're going to talk about keeping kids safe from predators, from sexual predators, and from online predators. And then we're going to talk about missing and unidentified children, which that may end up being a topic all its own. We'll see how the show goes. If you have any questions, comments, you can email them to us. You can tweet them. You can Jim here in the chat room, just shoot them on over to us, or you can, you can drop them in our group, the Facebook group for Your Voice Radio Network page, and that's Your Voice Radio 2017. So, we'll start here.
Lee, I'm really excited about talking about this because I actually had a little bit of a personal experience as we get going in the show that I want to share with everybody. So I think this is like a really good topic because you see people as one way and they try to get you to see them in a certain light. And the truth is they are nothing like you want them to be. And you kind of have to be on guard all the time as a parent, as a grandparent. And when you mentioned this topic, I was like really happy because I thought I can actually tell of a personal experience I had concerning my grandson, and I just thought this was awesome.
Okay, people can relate to personal experience. And maybe that experience will help somebody in another, in whatever they're going through, or it may help someone to avoid whatever, what it is that you went through. We've got a lot of high-profile news stories that, we're bombarded with by the media about kids and teens being sexually abused by trusted teachers, the adults, in their life, from coaches, neighbors, religious leaders, family members, and those stories continue to shock parents and educators out there and all of us who are caring, across the U.S. It's sad to say for me that it doesn't shock me anymore, and that's That's kind of like a, I guess, an aha moment here. I don't know. I just had that. It's kind of like, you know, when you can, when you cease being shocked by what's out there, by the depravity that's out there, by those who, you know, are there to protect and lead our kids. That tells you the incredibly sad state that our country is in, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, the sad stories that are classic examples shouldn't be, we shouldn't have any classic examples. You know, people shouldn't be misusing their positions of trust and power, you know, to coerce the kids and gain their level of trust where they can abuse them.
And sadly, they do it all too often.
You know, yeah, well, it's, there are a lot of people, you know, look and they'll look at something and say, okay, no, doesn't involve me, doesn't involve me, doesn't involve me. Not my business, not my business, not my business. Truth is, it's all our business, you know. When it comes down to this, when it comes down to the kids and protecting them, that's up to all of us, you know.
I think a lot of people look at it like it doesn't affect me, so therefore I don't care. But then when the shoe's on the other foot and it does affect them, you know, they're like, they open their eyes and they're like, why didn't somebody say this before? Or why didn't someone introduce this to me before? And until you actually experience or go through it yourself, you know, it's almost like it's unimportant to people. I know everybody that I have ever talked to always said, well, child abuse doesn't affect me. I said, no, but it could. It could, if it doesn't affect you personally, it could affect your child, your grandchild, your niece, your nephew. And they kind of look at you like, you know, that's impossible. But every day you're sending your kid off to daycare or school or like my grandchildren, they both play t-ball. You know, you're sending them off to practice and you're supposed to entrust in these adults. And, you know, people kind of think that it can't happen to their kid, but it can happen to anyone. And you know, there are a lot of parents and grandparents and even concerned adults, you know, they'll ask themselves, you know, what do I need to watch out for? How can I help protect my kids? You know, how do I teach my kids to protect themselves? And tonight's show, we hope to give them some of those answers.
Yeah, those are all extremely important questions too. Very important information that people need to know. And, you know, to share just a few statistics on child sexual abuse. You know, we know that the numbers that are out there aren't the actual numbers because those are the only case, that's only the numbers of reported cases. There's so many, excuse me, there's so many cases that don't get reported for, you know, different reasons, for fear on the part of the child, for fear on the part of maybe another parent for helping the child. There are just so many reasons. You know, we had, you know, back in, now I don't know why they don't have data that's closer to the date. You know, data back from as early as 2010, from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Children's Service Bureau reported that they had found 9.2% of victimized children were sexually assaulted. And I'm just going to pop down in here and take a little bit from your steps. It's one in five girls and one in 20 boys is a victim of child sexual abuse. To comment on that one, I have to comment on that one. I have someone who is very, very close to me, a very, very dear friend, who's also another grandmother. Just got four grandkids, and at this point, three of those four grandchildren have been sexually abused. And over the years, and it's just the state doesn't do anything. It is incredibly frustrating. It is angering. So when you don't think it can happen to you, you don't think it can affect you, I guarantee it's whoever is affected directly. You're probably within three. What do they do? The degrees, like within 3 degrees of knowing someone and being affected by someone whose life has been ripped apart by being assaulted. That one sink in. Let that one sink in.
People don't realize you're standing there talking to three people, and out of the four of you, three of you have been touched by sexual abuse.
Heart breaks for my friend. It's nothing that. You get lost in the loop. You become speechless.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of leaves you
anger,
speechless.
There's a lot of words. There's a lot of, words of wisdom to share. But then you get these speechless moments, and it's like, it does hit home. It will affect the life of someone you know or love. Whether you know it now or not. But that's, that's some of the statistics. And that's just, I'm going to turn that over to you for a minute.
Okay.
Let you finish up the statistics.
Self-report studies show that 20% of all adult females and 5 to 10% of all males recall a childhood sexual assault, or they recall a sexual incident. During one time period in the United States, 16% of youth from age 14 to 17 had been sexually victimized. That's a lot. The overall course in a lifetime is 28% of the youth in the United States of America from ages 14 to 17 have been sexually victimized. Children are the most vulnerable to childhood sexual abuse between the ages of 7 and 13. And they usually say the cutoff period is 13 because they start to mature and develop, and a lot of sexual predators, they don't like that. And I hate to say that, but it is true. They like the childlike figure compared to a more blossoming figure into an adult.
Yeah, they do. And you're right, that's, when they start to mature, that's when, when interest kind of drops off and they go in search of another victim.
I always hate to say that because it makes me feel like I'm labeling them, because anyone can be abused, but they seem like they like that child figure better, and it's really disgusting when you think about it, but, by the time a child hits puberty, they're ready to move on to the next.
Yeah, it's vile. And according to an earlier report by the National Institute of Justice, 3 out of 4 adolescents who've been sexually assaulted were victimized by somebody that they knew well. We talk a lot about stranger danger, but it's not always about stranger danger. The danger is usually a lot closer to home.
Yeah.
And is 1.6%, which is 16 out of 1,000, of children between the ages of 12 to 17 years old were victims of rape and sexual assault. And there's a lot of an older report. This was actually back in the mid-80s. That said, 63% of women who'd suffered sexual abuse by a family member also reported rape or attempted rape after the age of 14. And studies after that, a number of studies after that also recorded similar results. What hit me when reading that was they also reported a rape or attempted rape after the age of 14. As a child, having been sexually assaulted, I was gang raped at 14. So that kind of hit me. you know.
I'm sorry that happened.
I guess they hit that next level for those who desire, those who are just blooming. Revolting creatures. Oh, but excuse me.
Children who had experience of rape or attempted rape in their adolescent years were 13.7 times more likely to experience rape or an attempted rape in their first year of college. And I think that number is actually 20.3% now. This is a little bit older study, but we try to keep up to date, and I believe that is actually 20% now. A child who is victimized by sexual abuse usually develops low self-esteem, a feeling of worthlessness, and an abnormal or distorted view on sex. The child may become withdrawn, mistrustful of adults, and sometimes they even become suicidal. And we've actually seen that many times, Lee.
Yeah, we have. And we're seeing an increasing number of suicides, and it's
sad.
Yeah, the word for it, sad, heartbreaking.
You know, I have never been sexually assaulted or abused, but to be a young child and, you know, like, I can't even begin to imagine, because I look at my kids and even my grandchildren now, and I look at them and they look with you with the most trust in their eyes, and they look at you to protect them. And I just can't see how anyone can take their own child like that and just, like, sexually assault them. I mean, you know, they're
so vulnerable.
My little grandson that I've helped my daughter with very much, she's a single mother. And, I mean, I have helped her with him since birth. And when he looks at me with those big blue eyes, there is nothing in this world I wouldn't do for him or that I wouldn't give him. And for me to even tell him no, it breaks my heart. And sometimes I have to tell him no, because if not, I know he's going to be spoiled rotten. But at the same time, to actually tell him no sometimes actually makes me really feel bad. And a lot of times he'll go home at night and I feel guilty because I didn't let him do something or buy something and a lot of people say, oh, that's silly, but at the same time, it may be silly, but I don't see how someone else can look a child in the eyes and rape their own child, or I don't get it. I don't understand. And every day I say, you know, someone tell me why.
Unfathomable perversion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Illness.
I'll say, you know, tell me how they can do it or why they can do it. Or, I mean, I'm telling my little guy, you know, you know, you can do what you want. You can have what you want. And I think I would, God only knows if anybody ever hurt him, what I would actually do. And I just can't see how anyone else can stand by. We read these headlines every day where people are prostituting their children out. People are letting their boyfriends rape them and molest them. I mean, they're even helping killing their child after they've been assaulted and covering it up or burning them and chopping up their bodies. And I sit there and I think, how could anybody do that? And what kind of person does that? And a lot of people will say they're sick, they got issues. And I think, you know, I don't think it's the fact that they're sick. I think there's something majorly going on in there. And to me, no matter what kind of view they put on it, what kind of label they give it, because anymore, you can go to the doctor and there's an illness for everything you have. If you're sexually attracted to children, you're this. If you do this, you're that. And they put too many labels on it. And I think they have to stop labeling things and just come right out and say, this person is a sick individual. And when you do that, you need to be in jail for life. There's no, you know, like, there's no probation, because when people get probation for molesting kids and raping kids, that just makes me sick. And the punishment never fits the crime. Never.
No, and when they get, you know, probation or parole, I mean, they're out there to do it again. And we know from history, past experiences,
yeah,
that they're going to do it again. You let them out, they're going to do it again.
Yeah, I actually look back on that Jerry Sandusky case, and being from Pennsylvania, everybody is a huge Penn State fan. And I can remember different times going to different football games, different events, basketball games. My kids always liked Penn State. But I can remember going, and I would always say, you know, it's one thing for to be around kids or kids to like you, because my house was always the hangout house for kids. Everybody come here, and we always had a pile of kids. But clear back then, I would say, you know, this man, he is just, like, he's all over these kids. He's offering them things. He's offering them tickets to go to games. He's offering to take them fishing. He's offering to take them trips. He's inviting them to his house for Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm thinking, something isn't right with this guy. You know, something's not right.
Yeah. Red
and
flesh,
I actually
you've
said
been
to
popping up with people.
Yeah, and I actually said to my husband one time, I said, I'm telling you right now, I said, he's a predator. And my husband's like, oh, my goodness, you know. He said, he does all this charity work, and, you know, and, like, everybody made excuses for him. And when he was charged with what he did, I was not one bit surprised. Everybody in Pennsylvania is with their hand over their mouth, oh, my God, how could this happen? And I'm sitting here thinking, I knew something was wrong. I could tell he was just, he had kids of his own, and he was more interested in other kids than he was his own kids. And I just never seen anybody, his actions just kind of said it all. And I don't know how to explain it, but I could notice it. I could tell that there was something not ticking right with this man. And when that story broke, I was not surprised. I was like, I knew it. I kept saying it for years. I knew something was going on. It's crazy.
That you knew that something wasn't right. Yeah.
You know, it's like a gut feeling. And, you know, and Lee, you always told me, go with your gut, go with your gut. Whatever your gut tells you about someone, you go with it. And and that was the truth. When your gut tells you something, you go with it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've had people actually shake their head at me when I tell them, you know, I warn them about certain things and situations, and, you know, they're like, just trust me on this, you know, just trust me on this, because, you know, it's my God, I can't tell you, you know, it's like, I don't have anything tangible to show you, but it's in my gut, it's deep in my gut, you know, be careful.
Yep.
And, you know, I get poo-pooed aside, and, you know, that, then, you know, they find out. They find out, they know what you talk about, you know.
Yeah.
And they open that door and they're staring down terror. And you're like, oops, they did warn me about this. I didn't believe them.
I know.
You know. There's some, we've got some 10 steps from some experts on, you know, for those wondering, you know, how to keep your own children safe, you know, and how to keep them safe when mom and dad aren't home, or, you know, just what you can do to help best keep them safe from predators. And on is recognizing that sexual abuse could happen to your child. You know, out of every 4 girls and 1 out of every 6 boys will experience sexual abuse. So we know that they'll experience that before their 18th birthday. You know, recognize that the predator is most likely going to be somebody you know. Somebody that's close to the family. Somebody that you know. It could even be an acquaintance, but it's going to be somebody you know. Most of the time, about 90% of the time, the child knows the predator, shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not not the normal, just for the stranger and the candy in the playground, or, you know, the stranger and the doggy, come help me find my dog. You know, that still unfortunately works with children that sadly... Federico Provencher, young girl who actually disappeared that way, went to help a man with her puppy, with his puppy that actually didn't exist, apparently. And she was found deceased years later. But more often than not, it will be somebody that you know. You know.
Yes. I think one of the biggest ones that stands out to me is be suspicious of adults who try to spend time alone with your child. And when you actually said about this show tonight, I was actually excited about the topic because I don't share much about my personal life on anything. A lot of people actually say I don't share on Facebook, I don't share on Twitter. Lee, you've known me for 10-11 years
now. It's a
now.
Smart thing. People don't realize how smart.
Yeah, but you know, like, I'm a very private person. But my grandson, like I said, my grandson, I've been very close with him since he has been born. And his paternal grandmother was in his life for the first year. And then she had a lot of problems with addiction and alcohol and a crazy life with men. So she stopped seeing my grandson for like 2 years. Well, she called one day and she said that she was clean and she was doing well and she had a new job and she was going back to school and she had this new boyfriend and she wanted to know if she could come see him. And I said, let me think on it and I'll get back to you. A week went by and I called her back and I said, I said, you can come see him. Same rules as apply before. It's a supervised visit at my house because, I mean, this lady in the past would come to my house and pass out on the floor. I would have to call her son and tell him to come get her because she's laying on the floor high. She's rolling around. She didn't know where she was. I mean, she wasn't trustworthy to be taking my grandchild anywhere, and I or my daughter would not allow it.
Yeah.
So up to date, my grandson was 3 at the time, and she wanted to see him. So, again, I said, same rules apply. You know, you can see him at my house supervised. Well, she brings this guy with her, and she introduces me to him as her boyfriend. He is tall, good-looking. If you were to see him, you would be like, he's a dreamboat. You know, I mean, he was dressed nice. He had a nice car. He had a nice job. He did nice things for her. I said, well, I'm really happy for you, you know, but something in my gut was like, don't trust this dude. Something's not right. So she did the visit, and he watched my grandson. Every time my grandson moved, he was watching him. And I was just like, you know, something ain't right. She left, and when I actually text her, and I said, we need to talk. And she said, did I do something wrong? And I said, no, you did not. I kind of explained to her that it had to do with her boyfriend. So she called the next day and we talked and I let her know, you know, you want to do a visit, you do it. I was very uncomfortable with him and the way that he just, I mean, he was more interested in my grandchild's movement and what he was doing than he was anything else. And like I said, I had this gut feeling. So she scheduled a visit for the next month. And I said, remember, you by yourself. Well, when she came, he was with her. And I actually pulled her aside and I said, hey, what did I tell you? And she said, I know, but he had something he wanted to tell you. So he's talking to me and he's giving me this big line that, you know, he knows I have trust issues with people and I don't trust people and I'm very overprotective, but he's a good person and he's this and he's that. And I was kind of tired because I had just come back from the March Against Child Abuse in Michigan. And I was tired. I had a little bit of jet lag and stuff. And I said, I says to him, I'll think about it. I said that, you know, I said, I think it's just best that she does the visits, but I'll think on it. So as she's visiting with the baby and everything, he says, oh, I heard you were in Detroit. And I said, yeah, I said, I kind of call it my second home because I spend a lot of time up there. And he's like, well, the next time that you have to go to Detroit or you have to go somewhere, he goes, why don't you just call me and I'll come to your house and I'll hang out with your grandson. And he said, I'll get to know him just a little bit. And that sent a chill right up down my back. And I said to her, the visit's over. You got to go and you got to go now. She goes, why? I said, I've never ever had a grown man approach me to spend time with my grandchild or with any child for that matter. I said, the people that I know don't want to spend alone time. You're misunderstanding. I just really want to get to know him and spend some time with him. And I said, you need to leave. And I made him leave. So I told her right out, either you see the child or you see this. And she's like, well, She goes, I'm going to come see Hayden one last time. I'm going to tell him goodbye. She said, if he can't spend alone time with him, then she said, I can't see him anymore. And I said, what do you mean if he can't spend alone time with him? Because that whole alone time thing just, like, freaked me out, you know. And she says, well, if he can't spend alone time with him, then I'm not allowed to see him anymore. And I said, do you realize what you're saying? I met this man twice, the first
it's
time
like
for an hour.
It's not like mother-daughter time, you know, or something, you know.
I've met this guy.
This is red flags and bells going off like crazy in, you know, the flashing lights and everything.
And I said to her, I met this guy for an hour, and I had this gut feeling about him that something was not right. I said, then he's here telling me that he wants to spend alone time with my grandchild, and he wants to get to know him and spend some time with him. And some of the things he said was just like, enough, that's it. And I said, you got to go, the visit's over. And then when she actually said to me, if he's not allowed to spend alone time with him, I can't see him anymore, it was like, then you don't need to see him anymore. I said, I have never seen anybody that wants to. And I even said to her, I said, do you know, as a child advocate, I tell people every day, do not trust people with your children. You know, like, be careful who you let them with. And you're ready to throw our grandchild to the wind and let him spend alone time with some guy that we don't even know, that you don't know, that you just started dating. I said, well, I'm sorry, the visits are over. And it struck me so odd, because I thought, what kind of person would just say it's okay? And as I talked to a couple different friends of mine, they said, hey, Donna, a lot of people's like that. You know, a lot of people are more protective of their car than they are their kid. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, can I spend some alone time with him? I want to get to know him. He's 3 years old and you're a 35-year-old man. What's to get to know? And what do you need alone time with him that when nobody's around?
No, I got two words for that boy. I mean, hell no.
Well, it was kind of a little bit worse than that, and I don't usually use the word too often.
No, well, that's only because we're on air. I'm, you know, I'm taming my words here, but that's, yeah.
But it just, that bothered me so bad, and for her, it didn't bother her at all. She was just, to her, that was like, whatever, it was normal, and I'm there like flipping out, like, you got to go. You got to get the hell out of here. He's not wanted here. I mean, I made it very clear he was not to come back, and he has never come back. But it just was like, wow, you know, I just could not believe. She was like, well, why can't he just spend some alone time with him and get to know him? And I'm like, did you hear what he said? When I'm not home, the next time I have an event to attend or something, he'll just come to my house, hang out with him, and get to know him. He doesn't even know me to hang out at my house. He don't even know my grandchild to get to know him alone at my house. He doesn't want anyone with him. He wants to spend alone quality time with him. I said, to me, that's a red flag going off saying your boyfriend has issues, bad issues. And I will say what I think he is, which I will not say on the air, but in my own opinion, I believe he's a predator. Nobody does that. I would never go up to anybody and ask to spend alone time with their child. I wouldn't even do that with my niece or my nephew. That is just freaky.
No.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be getting hostile. It just kind of, it upset me. But when you suggested this topic, I just thought, I have been wanting to say something, and I never share anything personal. And I just thought, now's the time I can actually just, you know, like, say something, you know.
Maybe this will,
resonate, you know,
with at least one family out there or one person out there. Hey, this,
you know,
your story resonate with them.
Someone you just met should not be asking to spend alone time with your grandchild. People you know on a daily basis should not be asking to spend alone time with your grandchild or your child or your niece or your nephew. I have many nieces and nephews, and my family is plenty populated. We have a lot of kids. But I've never, ever, you know, come out and said, can I spend alone time with your child? I mean, I'll say to my sister, hey, can the boys come? We're having a sleepover. But, I mean, the boys are having a sleepover with my grandchild, you know. It's not like it's a sleepover with me or something. And it just, I don't know, just him wanting to be alone with
talk about sleepovers. Yeah, it's very twisted and very sick, and it's not appropriate. It is definitely not appropriate for an adult to want to do that. I've got number four here on the tip is to avoid situations where your, you know, child could be molested. I know that we don't want to think, okay, well, where should I avoid? Where would my, you know, you don't want to come up with a list and think, you know, oh my God, my child could be molested here, you know, it could, or there. I mean, it could actually happen anywhere. I mean, they're good at what they do, and they can get to your kid anywhere, just about. And, you know, if your kid wants to go on a sleepover, right now one of my grandchildren was on a sleepover this weekend. You should know the parents. The parents should, you know, or the adults in charge should be in connection with each other, you know, especially if the kids are on the younger age level. You know, if you don't know the parents, if you don't know who's in charge of this, you know, then don't let your kids sleep over, you know.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that'll be, you know, oh, this will give me a break, you know. Even if it's, you know, a luxury for you for that night, don't do it. Not if you don't know the parents, the guardians. Or, you know, if your kid is going on an overnight trip, like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, I don't know, hockey team and cheerleaders off to a game, overnight game, high school, I'm thinking. But, you know, you ask, get involved, ask, inquire about, you know, the sleeping arrangements for everybody and who's going to, you know, be in charge of whom, who's going to have access to whom, you know, is it, you know,
mm-hmm.
boys in rooms over here are only, and girls, you know, down this end of the hall, or, you know, there's only girls through a room, no boys, you know. Ask all that. Be nosy.
Yeah.
I know one time
my daughter was invited to a birthday party / sleepover. She was in fourth grade, and I didn't know the parents, and even back then before I was advocating, if I didn't know you and I didn't trust you, my kids didn't go to your house. And she argued and she cried and she stomped her feet and she was mad at me and she hated me like kids do and everything. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, you're not going to this party. I don't know these people. So it was that following month, because it would have been a Saturday, that following Monday, she goes mm-hmm. to school and she comes home and she said, Mommy. And I said, yes. And she said, you're lucky you didn't let me go to that party. And I said, why? And she said, because my best friend, her dad just come home from jail. And I said, he did. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, what did he do in jail? And she said, molesting little girls. Now, there he had a whole, and she didn't even know what molest meant. She just knew that it was something bad. And here she, you know, and she said, you know, she said he molested little girls. And I said, oh, I said, that's awful. And she said, I don't know what it is, but I know it's something bad. My teacher said it's something very bad. And I said, oh, yeah, it is. It's very bad. And my thoughts was there he was, fresh out of jail, for molesting little girls, one of his own child. Sadly, he's back in the home with the child he molested and another child, because when he was in jail, his wife had a child to another man, so he was in the house with those two, plus eight little girls over the weekend. I thank God every day I did not let her go. No matter how much she hated me, she was mad at me, stomping around. I mean, I'm glad I didn't let her go. I mean, he like hit the jackpot. It was like, you know, there he is, a child molester, and he's in the house with 10 little girls, you know, two of his own, and, you know, eight that he didn't know. And I actually said to my husband at the time, I said, you know, he said, that's sad. I said, he was probably like a kid in a candy store. I said, he probably was beside himself having all those little girls in the house. I said, knowing what he did, and he had spent a good deal of time in jail for his crime, but jail doesn't change them. We know that. No amount of therapy and no amount of jail is going to change their thoughts and what they desire.
No, you're right.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
It's true.
And And Lee, that leads us right into number five, that you don't insist that your child hug someone. And I know all too often parents will tell their child to hug or kiss a relative. And I've seen it many times, like people will come in visiting from another state and they'll be like, give aunt this a kiss or uncle that a kiss. And the kid's looking like, I don't know this person. And they really don't want to, but the parent makes them. I personally never made my kids do that. And even my grandson, if he don't want to hug somebody, I never enforce it. I never make it. I let him go. And I think a lot of times people should trust their child. If their child doesn't feel comfortable doing something, they should kind of listen to that child because, I mean, they have an instinct too, and they can pick things out that us adults can't pick out. So, kids have their own intuition and they're very smart and they're very intelligent. And I don't know, I'm not one of those people that thinks that a child has to hug everybody.
Yeah, no, me either. And see, I'm a hugger by nature, and Mama was a hugger by nature. Rest her soul. And we're just huggers. I mean, we hug everybody. But I'm also, of the people, will say, give her a hug before we go. And, we're going ahead and give her a hug. And, they're kind of like backing up. And, and it's like, I tell them, don't make them hug anybody that, I said, it's okay. I said, it's okay if they don't want to hug me. I'm good with it. Hurt feelings, It's good. Trust and honor the child.
Yeah.
What they need, what they want. They don't want hugs. That's cool.
Yeah.
I offer them fist pumps.
I do that too.
I do the fist pump. Come on. And then I get grins. I get big grins and yeah. But, one, not everybody's a hugger. Two, you don't know what that child is going through. You don't make them hug somebody. That just kind of sets things off on a really bad path,
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we've got these manners and we insist our kids say, hello to so-and-so and don't, and that's well and good. Say hello. But some people, I guess, don't want to be perceived of as being rude, and having... not forcing their kid to say hello to greet this other person, whether they're family or not, But all in all, it's not a good lesson for the kids. It's not a good lesson for us to teach them.
Yeah. I know. I was shopping with my daughter last week and my grandchild, and this lady, she was an elderly woman, and she was so sweet and defenseless, my God. And she says hello to my grandson, and he wouldn't say nothing to her. And she goes, aren't you going to talk to me? And he goes, lady, I don't know you, and I'm not talking to you. He goes, you just might want to steal me or hurt me. And she goes, oh, I would never want to do that. But, I always say to him, if you don't want to, hug somebody or kiss somebody, you don't have to. And I always say to him, and I did teach the stranger danger, if you don't know somebody, you don't talk to them. I did tell my daughter time and time again, the majority of the time, it isn't stranger danger that we have to be afraid of. It's the people that we know and trust that hurt our kids. But I had to laugh because, he was so insistent, lady, you might want to steal me or hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. That's adorable. But he knows.
He's funny.
He knows, and he's very bold about it, and that's a good thing. For a young man to be.
Yep. There's a few different people in our community, and, if he sees them, he'll just look at them, and I'll say, what's wrong? And he'll say, I just don't like that person, and he don't even know them. And I always laugh because I'll say it's almost like he has that gift where he can read people, and because I always say you and I are like that because we get that gut feeling and it's like, okay, we need to get away from this situation. And I always say he's like that because he don't even have to know someone and he can kind of look at them and be like, you know, like, I don't like that person. And I'll say, why? And he'll say, just something tells me that they're not very nice, or they'll hurt. And I always say to him, you trust your gut. You know, if your belly's telling you something, you trust it. And, you know, I did that with my own kids. So I want to continue it on with all my grandchildren, really.
Yeah, did that with my my child, now grown, and with my grandkids too. You know, it's what age do we talk about good touch and bad touch with the kids? You know, you want to teach them about it. You want to teach them that you know, that their body belongs to them.
Yep.
And if somebody touches them in a place on their body or in a way on their body that makes them feel yucky or uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
then they have the right to say no, even if that's an adult.
Yep.
Yep. And, you know, you teach, there are different programs out there that you can help teach your child good touch, bad touch. You also use what we've called the circle of trust, the bubble.
Yep. Yep.
You can explain that a little bit better right now, Donna. So to explain that one and move on.
Well,
so.
the circle of trust with the bubble is kind of like the circle around you, your personal space. And it depends on how close and how comfortable you feel with someone. There's some people that you want to keep at an arm's length away, and they would just be like on the outside of your bubble. Then there's other people that you completely trust, and you don't mind how close they get to you. So, like, they're kind of like in your bubble, in your circle of trust. And we actually did a presentation at the park here not long ago, and the kids just absolutely loved it. They loved it for the fact that they loved playing with bubbles, but in the same sense, they loved the fact because there was different people that was there that it was like, no, they did not trust whatsoever at all. And then there was other people, it was like, okay. And some of the parents were actually shocked to the fact that some of the people that they thought they should trust, their kids didn't trust. So it kind of opened a lot of eyes, and it worked out really good. That was a great program we did, Lee.
That's good.
You know?
I love the way you explain it.
okay. Well,
my tongue's just tripping over everything this week anyway, but you explained that particular one with the circle of trust. You explained that really well. I just love listening to how you explain it. It's so simple. It's so simple.
Yeah, it is kind of simple because I know when we first said we were going to do the circle of trust, and like these parents are looking at us like, you know, what are you going to do with bubbles? As we're explaining to the kids, you know, this is your circle of trust, this bubble, and, you know, there's going to be people that you're going to want to keep out, and there's people that you trust you're going to let in. And there was parents that actually walked away shocked because their kids did not trust some of the people that was actually closest to them. And the one parent I can remember saying, you know, we have to make a few changes at home. And she thanked me like three times, and she said, please, you know, thank Ms. Roberts, and thank you, you know, for doing this, and this is awesome. And, you know, she says, here all along, I'm trusting this person with my kid, and my kid is scared to death of this person. And it was later, much later, that she actually revealed that the child had a couple situations, not where he was sexually abused, but he had been shoved by this person. This person had, you know, been really mean to him, grabbed him by the arm and actually shook him. So it opened her eyes to somebody she thought was a lifelong friend that she could trust. And this person was physically grabbing a hold of her child. So it was a good program.
Yes, it really is.
I also like the fact when people teach their child, and this is actually number 7. You have to teach your child no, you know, go tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this with my grandchild here recently, and I can remember back him being little, and I'd always say to him, you know, nobody can help you in the bathroom but Grammy, Pappy, or Mommy. And he would say, okay, you know, and I'd say, these are your private areas and no one can touch you. And, you know, and like I went over it with him 100 times. And this is kind of funny because one day my sister had kept him while I did an appearance. And when I got home, she said, we had a little bit of a problem. And I said, why? And she said, well, he went to the bathroom and I went in to kind of help him. And she said, he started screaming that I was not allowed to touch him, that he could do it himself, that the only person that can help him in the bathroom is mommy, pappy, or grammy. And I kind of laughed to myself, and she was very upset, which she had no reason to be upset because, like, I'd trust her with my life. She's like you.
Yeah.
But he was so insistent that no one can touch him there to help him, you know, in the bathroom. And I was kind of happy because I thought what we said to him sunk in, you know, like if somebody does something to him.
This is little boy. I mean, but he's brilliant and he has grasped this concept. He has grasped this sad reality, you know, and he knows what to do.
Yeah, but no, he did. And she said he started yelling and she said, and I says, no, I'm just trying to help you. And he's like, you can't touch me. No one can touch me and stuff like that. And she said, that whole thing that you said about yell and go tell, she said, he yelled and she actually cried. She was upset because he didn't want her to help, you know, he didn't want her to help him. And I said, I didn't know that he would take it so seriously with, like, my sister. But in the same sense, I guess it didn't matter who it was. It sank into him that, you know, you tell.
To know that it is serious and it is, he has grasped this. And it's sad that, you know, that it's your sister. But, again, like I said, I mean, he's grasped this. And
you know,
for me, and no go and tell. And to add that, I would tell my son, and I tell my grandkids, you scream the top of your lungs. You scream at the top of your lungs. Doesn't matter what you scream. You scream no. You scream fire. You scream fire. You're going to get more people's attention. Sadly, as it is, but you scream fire. Bite. You know, bite as hard as you can. You know, chomp a chunk out. Do what you got to do to get away. You know, no go and come tell. You know, for me, it's my son and I have always had open communication. Well, we did when we started when he was very young. Excuse me.
That's awesome.
You know, when it wasn't actually on. It wasn't on being molested or anything because he was never molested. But things, we've had the open communication. He asked me a question about anything, and I'll answer that question. And I was told him that, even like, you know, 7 and 8 years old, that, you know, if it's something I don't know the answer to, we'll find out together. You know, we've done that.
Communication is key, though. Communication in any relationship, whether a spouse or a child, it's key. I just think that's awesome because I was like that. I'd always tell my kids, you know, there's nothing that we can't get through together. You just got to, and I'd tell them, you always have to be truthful with me, but there's nothing that I can't fix. And I love that. When you said that, I absolutely loved it because it's like, it's good to hear that other people are the same way, you know, that open communication is awesome.
Yeah, you know, if you want to make it easy for your child to come to you, you know, you don't want to scream at their families, you know, when I see parents that scream at their kids for every little thing, every blessed little thing. You know what? Prioritize these things. What's really important? You know, because if you scream at them for just spilling a drink or, you know, it doesn't matter if it's something more than water. I mean, water is nothing to clean up, but it doesn't matter if it's something that's going to stain, okay? You know, you scream at them for every little thing. Well, maybe it would be bad if it stains your, you know, beautiful white couch that you just had delivered, but and kids are going to spill stuff, but, you know, they walk, they run, they fall, they spill. They make messes. It's what they do.
Well, yeah, but if you're screaming out
a lot of it's not important about, you know, and you don't want to build a wall. You want to build a bridge.
Yeah.
You
well,
wanna,
if you're screaming
you
at them
know
over...
that it's safe for them to come talk to you about absolutely anything under the sun.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. And there will be no judgment.
Well, if you're screaming at them for spilling a glass of water, how are they ever going to come to you and tell you that they've been molested or sexually assaulted? You know, they're not going to feel safe to tell you that they spilled a glass of water, so how are they going to come to you and say, you know, so-and-so did this to me or so-and-so did that to me? If you're flipping out over a glass of water. And that whole sofa thing, my grandson had actually done that with red juice on my white furniture. So that has actually happened. And I didn't yell.
Oh,
let's just say we don't have the white furniture anymore. It's now colored. But that did happen at our house. But... I think one of the biggest
when we have children and grandchildren, we tend to get rid of the glass tabletop furniture and the the white or very light furniture and rugs.
Oh my God, I've changed
but
so
that's
much.
Part of having a family and part of being a parent, you know.
I have changed so much being a grandparent. I can remember. My kids would come in and they would hang their book bags up, their coats up, and they'd put their shoes on the shoe rack, and everything was perfect. Then my first grandson came, and it was like, okay, you know, these rules go out the window, and he could do things that they couldn't do, and he broke things that they weren't allowed to touch, and he spilt juice all over the white furniture, and it was, well, we're just going to get new furniture, no big deal. And they're looking at me like, why is he so special? But it is what it is, you know? So we have about 3 minutes left, Lee. So I kind of wanted to give a little shout out to Renova Disposal. I want to thank them for sponsoring us. They have been there for us time and time again. I want to thank them for so much and, you know, kind of give a shout out, just let them know that we are very appreciative. You know, we are very we are thankful for everything that they've done. Skylar, Shannon, and Theo, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for making this possible.
Thank you so much. You're appreciated and valued.
Yes, we have accomplished so much, and they have backed us every step of the way, and I'm just so thankful that I'm actually lost for words because they have been great to Lee and I.
Okay.
We have about 3 minutes.
Mountain of gratitude. Yeah. You want to end real quick with this last thing, trusting your instincts. That's what I'm talking about too, you know, which is the most single important piece of advice. It's what, you know, Donna and I have been sharing with you. Trust your gut. Trust your gut.
Yeah.
Trust your instinct. And trust your child's gut and instinct too. You know, there's more often than not, we talk ourselves or we try to talk ourselves out of what our gut, what our instincts are telling us. Because we don't want to be rude, we don't want to be mean, we don't want to be a bitch, we don't want to judge other people. But our instincts are generally spot on.
Yes.
They're right there. And you know, the same goes for your child, too, for their instincts. You know, if they tell you that they're uncomfortable around somebody, or, you know, that's important. That's huge. They don't have to be able to tell you why they're uncomfortable. You know, why? Well, you know, I just feel icky around her. Okay. But why? You know, they may not be able to tell you the whys. But just know, acknowledge what they've just told you. And, you know, allow them to do what they need to be comfortable to, you know, and to feel safe. So
that's the most
just
important
acknowledge
thing.
That and honor that. Honor that.
Yeah,
so,
them feeling safe is the most important thing.
We're gonna pick up on our next show with some safety tips. And putting safety first, and we will get to that on our next show in 2 weeks. And we thank you for joining us. And we will have this in the archives for those who have missed the show. And we just thank you, everybody, for coming here tonight. And we say goodnight because I think we're off the air.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great evening. Yes.
I think we're off the air. I'll say goodnight anyway. Again, goodnight.
Night, everyone.